Heyo, and welcome to the Common Geeking Program, a book club or a common reading program for geek culture. Each episode, we select a topic that four people will discuss from their own geeky, nerdy perspectives. Joining me this episode are...
My name's Colin. I'm very entertained by Patrick's jovial nature at the moment. I am going to be representing the domain of the smash hit movie, Inception. That is the movie's only significant contribution to pop culture.
Seems true.
Okay.
Wait. Oh, I told you I was gonna do it. I told you what's happening.
I'm Austin, and why is that red? No, it's too loud. I'm sorry. No, it's just there's
You should probably see a doctor
here.
About that.
No, it's not me. It's technology. So sorry. No. I am Austin, and I today will be repping Excel World, which is not normally pronounced that way.
Excel World, the Microsoft augmented reality game, where you just put data into spreadsheets and make graphs out of it.
Epic.
You so can fun. Send messages.
You can send messages with Excel?
No. It was it's in a meme. There was this video. I'll send it to you later.
All right, and I am Laura, and today I will be representing the book The First Immortals. Mortal, it's definitely not pluralized, and I feel like I forgot
immortals.
How to speak. The book The First Immortal, it's about the first person to live forever.
And I'm Pat.
And it's Patrick's
and host.
Birthday! Birthday
bam, bam,
host!
Bam, bam, bam.
Birthday!
It is April 17th. Today is Patrick's birthday, and we are going to be celebrating... Thanks,
we're going to go in this episode.
were we going to like try to sing? Because that would be hilarious for Eddie to try to sing.
Please, no.
It would be. We'll get there. We'll
Colin's going to try to harmonize, too, and it's all
going
to fall
apart.
That's
what I'm looking forward to.
You're looking forward to the harmonization? Because it's going to make me want to go. Back to the topic. I had all these fine, lovely people, besides Colin, watch two episodes of Black Mirror. They are season 3, episode 2, Playtest, and season 3, episode 4, San Junipero. So, the basic premise behind Playtest is there's this dude who is traveling the world, and he's going off doing what he wants to do. He's backpacking everywhere, running with the bulls, doing the typical touristy shit all over the place. He decides that he is going to eventually go home, because obviously you can't just stay out forever, but he keeps getting calls from his mom.
And he
every single time,
the fuck out of them.
Every single time he ignores them, he's a typical like bro-looking guy, long hair, beard, blonde.
No,
not that appearances matter, like whatever. But clearly they chose his look in this episode for a reason. So eventually he gets to England, I presume, because they're speaking with British accents. And
it was
probably France.
They definitely mentioned that.
His debit card or credit card or whatever gets hacked. Or compromised in some way, so he doesn't have money to get home. So he decides to go on this odd job searching app in order to find ways to make some small cash.
You forgot to mention Sonya.
I wasn't going
to
go into specifics
about
that.
All right, okay.
I mean,
who cares?
This is important in the fact that they used her to develop his character for the audience so that we could understand the turmoil that was going on inside him.
True. I didn't bring that up. Okay. You're right. You're right. Why don't you do it then, Austin? You're so much better than me.
No, because I'm still fucking preoccupied with the other episode that I accidentally watched, honestly.
So good.
So basically, he's in England. I think he's trying to do like around the world in 80 lays sort of thing. And he's like fucking some girl in London. And they end up having a really good time. And she's a game reviewer. And she's hanging out with her, and she's, like, calling him out on his bullshit. Like, you need to answer your mom. Except in a British accent, you need to answer your mom. Mm. And then...
Not like that.
Not
she
like
does
that.
Like that one. She's cockney as hell.
And she's all like, what is this weird thing? Like, that's a weird thing to do. Glad I contributed those words to this podcast.
So, he ends up talking to Sonya about why he's gone on this gigantic adventure across the world.
It's kind of fucked up.
And it's because his dad was his best friend. Dad died, and he needed to get away from everything, which is why he doesn't want to open this can of worms of talking to his mom, because he just wants to enjoy his time and then go back and handle all that.
Doesn't he also mention that he doesn't have a great relationship with his mom?
Yeah,
they're not very close. Yeah. He says something to that effect.
So on the Odd Jobs app, this guy, his name is Cooper, he finds... a job that says to well, you don't find out until this point of the episode anyway, so whatever. Cooper, he just needs to make money, so he goes and does this play test. He's going to get a lot of money for it, and he goes to
$4 signs.
$4 signs. That's more dollars than I have. And you kind of notice at this point, he doesn't know a lot about games or gaming culture. Turns out he's there to play test, and this woman named Kate... introduces him to this augmented reality thing.
It's almost like probably how most people feel when he comes to their countries going around the world. Like, he's just, and then it's just, he comes into gaming, he's just like, oh, I know some things about it. This is going to be fun. And then shit hits the fan. Continue.
Yep.
Austin.
Yeah. About the 18-minute mark, she puts a little mushroom in
his
neck.
Wow, he's got fucking minute marks.
I got timestamps on this shit. At about the 18-19-minute mark, they stick something in his neck, and he sees this little whack-a-mole gopher
on the phone. That's they have to sign a waiver, but before they even enter the room, she says, give me your cell phone. And then he says, oh, you're making me a little worried now. And he's just like, don't worry, it's just a safety precaution.
Yeah.
Takes the cell phone, turns it off.
And then he goes...
Puts it on the table next to this briefcase, and then she hands him these signs to these forms
to
sign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, signs to form. These forms to sign, and one of the pages is missing, so she leaves. He's remembering Sonia's conversation where she told him to get a picture of whatever technology he's playtest. So he turns his phone back on, takes a picture, doesn't turn the phone back off, and then they start doing all this. They bring in this medical thing. They stab him in the back of the neck with this device that's supposed to help him connect to this augmented reality, and they make him play this little gopher game. It's not really that important, but he enjoys it so much, and Kate decides to put him through...
She asks him to beta test.
Yes.
Beta.
She wants him to beta test the full experience
beta
that they
test.
Are working on. I'm not going to say beta. Experience.
That's what she said!
I think one of the most important things in this is that you get the concept that when he touches the gophers, they kind of like fuzz out of reality.
Oh yeah, you can't physically touch. Yeah, you can't physically touch the augmented reality. They can't hurt you. But primarily, the focus of this game studio is a horror franchise.
Survival horror, yeah.
I just want to say that I think that this is like alternate reality Hideo Kojima.
Totally
feels exactly like that.
The beta test that they want to put him in is a real life simulated haunted house like kind of thing. It's called the Harlech Shadow. They put him in this gigantic mansion all alone. They hook him up to this augmented reality thing. They can still talk to him, and there's a safe word just in case anything happens.
I believe his safe word was stop, wasn't it?
It was stop.
Yeah, it was stop.
That's a shitty safe word.
He gets super bored. And then he starts seeing scary shit, and then he sees Sonia, and Sonia's like, these people are fucked up. And then he's like, Sonia, are you really here? You can't be here.
The game has the ability to take memories and images from the person's brain and put them into the game.
Yeah, it's a smart game to like figure out what you're most afraid of.
Yeah. So then he gets this knock on the door, goes and opens it up, and it's Sonia. He's like, you're not real. Like, there's no way you're real. And then he goes and touches her face, and he can feel it. Like, it's there, not, like, passing right through, like, the gopher. And stuff starts to go crazy. He doesn't believe why she would know where he is, so he starts
She turns into the Red Skull from Captain America.
She stabs him in the arm first and, like, actually hurts him. She transforms into the Red Skull from Captain America, stabs her face with the knife still in his arm, just, like, shoulders her in the face with it. And then he starts going insane.
He goes insane... He thinks he's going to confront his mom and then loses all sense of self. And as everyone's rushing in to, like, try and, like, get him back to reality, he snaps back to the room where he's testing.
Snap back to reality. Then he snaps back to reality, is in Hideo Kojima fake dude's office.
I mean, that's not his name.
I know, it's but, like, it's crazy. And then
I don't
want to,
like, make Hideo
I can't
Kojima.
Remember
it's
what
fine.
It is. It's Sho.
Fine.
It's Sho. His name is Sho. His name is Sho. Whatever. So he goes into Sho's office. They talk about it. Playtest is over. Only lasted like 0.04 seconds in real life time. It was crazy. And then he goes home. And he walks in, and his mom is sitting on the bed crying. And she like looks at him, says, I need to call Cooper. Goes and grabs the phone. Cooper's like, Mom, I'm right here. Mom, mom, Lois.
Lois.
Jesus Christ.
And then she just like doesn't hear him because presumably something happened. And then we snap back to the new reality, which is Cooper in the original chair, like the original beta test with the thing uploading into the back of his head. Yeah. And his phone is going off. It's his mom calling. The reason they had to turn the phones off was because the phone signal interferes with the upload process. And he literally just has an aneurysm or something with his brain and dies.
So everything from that 18-minute mark
while screaming, mom, over and over.
Yep.
Boom. The second episode was San Junipero, which is this town where a bunch of people just come to have a good time. They're just like always partying, always doing random stuff.
It's like 80s California.
And it's just 80s California, super cool. And we follow this nerdy like girl, looks really out of place. She ends up meeting this really nice,
her name is Yorkie,
woman. Yorkie is the first girl. She ends up meeting this other woman named Kelly.
Yeah.
And they start hitting it off, and Kelly starts to get a little flirty. And Yorkie's like, ooh, I'm not really sure yet. I, like, totally am into you, but, like, this is my first night.
At this point in my notes, I had no punctuation. All caps, not gay, lowercase, maybe gay. So that's kind of
weird. They're totally gay.
Like, not gay, maybe gay.
Full gay.
Sure.
So Yorkie's like, I'm good for tonight. Let me get my bearings. So then it fast forwards a week. And we're back in San Junipero, still 80s themed and everything. And this time, Kelly and Yorkie decide to, like, actually go and, like, hook up, have a good time. It's super good. They're always concerned about how much time they have left. So that's, yeah, at midnight, everything seems to just, like, end. So they start hooking up, and while they're doing some pillow talk before midnight, we realize that Yorkie is engaged to a guy named Greg, and she has to go through with it. And Kelly was previously married.
But it was also Yorkie had to go through with it, but not in a bad way. She was like, my parents are trying to stop us, but like they can't stop us. We
she
have
was
to
just
do
being
it,
really vague about it at this point.
Yeah. Everybody's being vague about everything in this shit.
True.
So then the next week, Yorkie comes back and she can't find Kelly. She finally finds Kelly and is like, whoa, why'd you run away from me? And then Kelly's just like, I do this for fun. Like, I'm not looking for anything serious. This is just for me to enjoy myself. Then Yorkie storms away, goes and sits on the roof, and Kelly comes out to find her, goes up and talks to her and says, look, I didn't mean that. I just wasn't prepared to actually meet somebody here that I actually, like, had a thing for, and it scared me. They make out. It's all, like, happy, hunky-dory, whatever.
This is where they first use the term passing over. And then midnight hits. It looks like the future that Squidward can't handle.
Yeah.
Future! It's way further forward.
I guess during that conversation, we realize that this is some sort of alternate reality because they talk about how in normal times they're located in Carson City, Nevada, and someplace in California that I can't remember the name of.
What do they call it? They're like, oh, are you like a resident? Not a resident, but like, oh, are you a... like a visitor.
Yeah, are you a visitor? Are you a
tourist?
Tourist. It was a tourist. So Kelly talks Yorkie into letting Kelly come visit her in real life. So then we fast forward to the new, I guess the current time. So we see this really old woman lying in a bed. She's a quadriplegic. She can't move anything, but she can still understand you. Kelly walks up and starts talking to her, and we realize that this is Yorkie in real life. Then we get the backstory that when Yorkie was young, she came out to her parents, and her parents did not want to have a gay daughter, so she ran away, got in a car, and just drove. And she ended up going off the road, having an accident which caused her to be a quadriplegic.
And what San Junipero is it's one of many cloud realities.
It's essentially like a computer version of heaven for them.
Basically,
they get to go on and live forever as these younger personas and just have a good time with other people who are in similar boats. So Kelly decides that she is going to propose to Yorkie and be that person to do it for her. But Yorkie gets a little too attached, and when they go back to San Junipero together, she tries to convince Kelly to pass over and come stay with her. But Kelly is still, like, she spent 60 years with her husband, and she feels really guilty that her husband did not join her in San Junipero because their daughter died really young.
And the daughter didn't even have the opportunity. It was before San Junipero was an option, so she felt like she couldn't just leave her daughter.
Yeah, they have a nice coming back together moment.
Gross.
Ew. So not they both gay. End up Maybe in San gay. Junipero together in the
Full
end.
Full gay.
Full gay. It's all happy, and nothing is real.
Yeah.
Or I guess for Yorkie, everything is real at that point because nothing else is real anymore.
Also, Greg is a really nice guy.
Greg was such a nice guy.
He was such a sweetheart. I love
Greg was a nurse who was going to marry Yorkie until Kelly was just like, nah, bitch, I'm going to do this. I actually like her.
And then he still interracial gay couples.
And he still went. He was so cute.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about this because these two episodes really focus on the dysmorphia between whether or not something is real or not. So in San Junipero, we have the argument of, well, is San Junipero real or is real life real? In playtest, it's hard for Cooper to differentiate between the game and real life, and then it's hard for us to differentiate between how many levels Cooper has gone into in this game, because they don't really give us a lot of clues.
Inception is here.
It's pretty cool. That is why I love these two episodes. Black Mirror is one of my favorite episodes, and I'm a total fanboy, and we need more of it. So, that was why I chose this this stuff. So, Colin, you were thinking about Inception. Why don't you give me a little rundown about why you think that relates to these episodes? Huggo.
So, there's this movie called Inception.
What? Never heard of it.
No way. I have never seen that movie ever in my life.
So, it's a 2010 movie by Christopher Nolan. And I'm not going to go super deep into, like, the plot. I just want to explain a lot of the concepts and how it develops the plot. Inception.
It's like a...
is about dreaming, while you're dreaming. And there's lots of dreaming going on. So in this world, there is a thing called dream sharing, where people can hook up to each other and share a dream. There are people called extractors that use this to steal information from other people's dreams by creating surreptitious dream circumstances.
Jerkumstances.
Yeah.
The whole point of the movie is one corporation wants another corporation to break up. So they hire not to extract, but to incept. So Leonardo DiCaprio's group of people, they need to implant the idea into this guy's mind for him to break up his dad's company.
Which
and that's what they're doing.
Which has never been done before, allegedly.
Never. Allegedly. Leo DiCaprio the whole time was like, I mean, I guess you could do it. In like a really sort of broody way, but
does he sound
everyone
like
else.
That?
No, but he looks
pretty
like
much.
That. That's, it's the tone. It's the way he says it. So
it's about the attitude.
Yeah. So in this movie, what they break down is they need to go into the dream. But for it to be convincing, they need to get super complicated. They hook up to a dream, and you have first level of a dream. It's a rainy day. And then the second level of the dream is like a nice hotel. And the third level of the dream is a snowy mountain. Each level you go down, time gets slower and slower and slower.
When you enter a dream within that dream, the effect is compounded.
So the problem is, if they die in the...
Kind of like in a playtest.
Yes, and if they keep dying in the dream, they're going to be stuck in there for so long that they would lose their minds. So, first of all, I fucking love the action in this movie. Like an hour and a half in, when Joseph Gordon-Levitt is jumping around the rotating hallway, that is one of my favorite scenes in anything. It's so good because the physics and the time stack from level to level. Throughout the whole movie, what you learn is that Leo DiCaprio's wife and him... one time got trapped in limbo, which is like the deepest place you can go in a dream. And
like eventually, once you go too deep, it just becomes like a smattering of brain.
Exactly. And they were there for like 50 years, and she wouldn't leave. So it turns out he incepted her to teach her this reality is not real, to get her to fucking leave and wake up and go back to the real world.
Is it not inceived?
Probably inceived, but they say incept in the movie.
That's so stupid.
Yeah, it's whatever.
That's just basic, like,
word
structure.
What's more stupid is to manipulate your partner's cognitive functions to make them do what you want.
Yes,
that
but
is true.
That's
the whole point of the movie is he made a fucking mistake because she got the idea and it got her to wake up from the dream. But when she woke up, she still had that thought. So she thought real life was not a reality.
But you didn't say like how they wake up from dreams.
Oh, the kick. So the way that they wake up from dreams is they need to be jolted. So that feeling that of falling, like when you like jerk yourself away at a school desk or something, which happened to me a lot in 11th grade English. Remember, Pat? All the fucking time.
Yep, it was so funny.
So they basically need to synchronize through all this stretched out time, all these kicks to wake themselves up. But Leo gets stuck in limbo trying to save someone else who got stuck in limbo. So at the end of the movie, they get home and he gets to see his kids for the first time in a while because everything worked out. And the whole time in the movie, the metaphor they use for whether it's dreaming or not is he has this top. And if the top is spinning, he's in a dream. If the top perpetually spinning, he's in a dream. If the top stops spinning, he's not in a dream. And that's how he tells where he is. So the last shot of the movie is he gets home to see his kids. The top is spinning and it starts to wobble and it cuts to black. So you don't know if he's still in limbo and he's constructing this reality for himself. And you don't know if he actually made it out, if he made it back to the United States. He was wanted for murdering his wife, but really she killed herself because she thought it wasn't real. The reason I wanted to talk about this is, one, when I was watching Playtest, every time that they talked about his perception of the world, I was like, oh, this is like Inception. Yeah. They sure. also did this thing where the sort of... Hold on a sec. They did a thing where the... You know that thing that Inception started, thanks to Hans Zimmer. thanks,
Shout
Hans
out
Zimmer.
To your boy.
So, in the scary playtest thing, you keep hearing that wum wum, but if you listen really closely, it's actually a distorted cell phone vibrate noise, which yeah. is allusion yeah, to the fact like that his that. Mom was calling. And in San Junipero, obviously the perception of reality with multiple layers. I think that really and like where you can spend the rest of your life, I think yeah. is really important.
Building your own reality.
And what I want to end my little section on here is when you look up, Christopher Nolan, the guy who made the movie, has not said whether he made it back home or whether he's still in limbo. And this is a quote from him about that ending. He said, this was about 2 years ago. I want to make the case to you that our dreams, our virtual realities, these abstractions that we enjoy and surround ourselves with, they are subsets of reality. He wants to make the case that they are just as valid as our real experiences. And that, I think, relates directly to the topic.
I'm saying, I've had some dreams where my fingernails grow, and then I cut them, and they just grow back, kind of like how Harry Potter's hair grows back.
That's
kind of
like
just...
real life, though.
But, like, they're like, it's instant.
Oh, my God.
So, Austin, please tell me about your Excel spreadsheets.
Oh, yeah. So, Excel World is, as it seems like every short anime series is, it was an anime series that was made, adapted from a series of light novels. Yeah. Anywho, whatever. So, it's about this kid... named Haru. That's not really going to be that relevant for our discussions, really. But anyway, so this kid Haru, and in this future, it's at some point that's in this millennium, but it's in the future from now. There's some sci-fi shit going on. People in this time are all about that augmented reality shit. Like, everyone has this chip thing implanted in their neck.
The Neuralink or something?
Yes, the Neuralink. And what it does is, like, it just sort of lets them see a bunch of hologram stuff that isn't actually there in real life, and they can interact with computers and stuff without having to, like, deal with screens or anything, because it's all just in their head, and it senses their positions and, like, mental states and stuff. And this is really interesting because, it's funky, but they also have cameras everywhere they have cameras everywhere in, like, cities and stuff so that this can... Like, so that this system can map, the city so that they can have,
the terrain.
Like, the terrain and also, like, people's positions yeah. and stuff and whatever. So,
this guy decides to just use this stuff to play squash by himself.
Well, what? Not really. What happens is that, like, he, at school, he's, in contrast to most anime main characters, he's just this short, fat little kid who doesn't, like, look very attractive. And so he's kind of a sad dude. He doesn't really have friends. And he spends most of his free time logging into a website where he has a cute little pig as his avatar. No. And he plays virtual squash by himself. And he's really good at it, but, like, he just
has
a sad
life. Do you
not
know what squash is, Colin?
No, I do, but, like, I just said Pornhub, and now I'm thinking of other allegories for playing squash by himself, and it's just...
Oh, ew.
It is a dark spiral I don't want to go down.
Well,
I feel like you've gone down that spiral a many
We've started. Now. Austin can pull us back up. Come on, Austin. Save us.
Godspeed.
So, anyway.
Kick us back to reality.
Boom. So what happens is that, like, one time he, like, gets a high score on this thing, and then he's, like, he comes back to it another day, and he sees that his high score has been beaten, and he's like, what the shit? I've been working on this for, like, all of my life because I don't have friends. Who's better than me?
I've got 100,000 gamers for you. Trying to say something. Popular girl.
Yeah, no, it turns out to be the class president, the hot popular girl, and she's like, you're really good.
Bitch.
I need to... Yeah, well, kind... no, she's really actually
she's a
nice
not a
character,
bitch.
But, like, but anyway... Like, so
she's just got to be good at everything.
How dare a girl play a video game better than a guy?
Yeah. So she introduces him to this. She's like, she introduces him to this fighting game thing, and he's like, "Oh, that sounds fun. I guess I'll do it." The pretty girl's talking to me. I'll do whatever she says. And so like she introduces him to this game called Excel World. Strangely enough. And what this is it's like a whole next level to this augmented reality experience where like it. It uploads software to the neural link thing so that like it can for periods of time make your cognition happen at like 100 times its normal speed.
So it's like limitless, but a computer.
Essentially, yeah. So
pill.
Like people can use it to do things like cheat at video games to beat Haru's high score.
Oh, but... it's like fucking Ritalin in esports.
Right, kind exactly, of? Except way better than that. But anyway, okay. Like you can also apply it to other things. There are like other characters. This
or
one
real drugs
later
in, real
in the game. Well, no, who like uses this ability to like get really good at sports and stuff. So like they're doing
real
kendo,
sports.
So he can just like do sword play faster than other people. It's a thing, Japan. But anywho, so
Japan.
No, but the thing is, you only get a certain amount of time that you can use this Excel power, and how you get. How you earn more time to do it is by going into this game, into the game itself, which is just like a fighting game where the game picks an avatar for you based on like your worst fears, and it's like this sort of robot things that have these funky powers. And I mean, I guess I can talk about it more later. I don't really want to drag on here,
yeah.
But it's all about like this kid sort of using this virtual reality to overcome his the
unfortunate
his
stature.
Yeah, his unfortunate stature and his fears and his, like, interpersonal issues that he gets from, like, not
I'm sounding like a real asshole just in the last 3 minutes.
Is that different from any other time?
Shut up, Pat.
Hey.
Boom! Got you!
Yeah, but no, anyway, I thought that it would be interesting to contrast with these episodes because, like, I mean, it does. There is some drama in the series, and like, not everything is hunky dory. There's a lot of shit that goes on, but like, it's just a very optimistic view of our cyberpunk future that Black Mirror does not subscribe to.
Black Mirror is not generally optimistic.
Austin,
so...
I love you.
Oh, that was so sweet. All right. So I'm talking about a book called The First Immortal by James Halperin, which I was just trying to find some more information on, like just a quick Wikipedia page, which has almost no information. And then the Goodreads page has like super shitty reviews, which I don't agree with because I actually super enjoyed this book. But it's basically about this doctor who was born in, I believe, like the 20s or 30s,
yeah.
1920s or 30s, named Benjamin Smith, who
it's
goes on
Benjamin.
To become, of course,
the
first
Benjamin.
Man to live forever.
Benjamin
so he's...
Button, this dude, like, it's just Benjamin. Just
yeah,
shut up,
Benjamin
Colin.
Button, yeah. Elrond, sure, let's go.
Benjamin Franklin? So he is a super smart doctor that's like always described as being ahead of his time. He's really intelligent. He does research. He's always thinking about things. He joins the World War I, World War II?
World War
One
II.
Of the World Wars.
Probably
one
of
those, one of those things.
If he was born in 1920, then...
I'm like not 100% sure about the 1920 thing. I just think that's what it was.
I believe you.
But I think
glad
it was 20, and I think
this.
It was World War II. Yeah. Aren't you so glad I'm...
So glad.
So he joins the war and fights in Japan, which is definitely World War II, and like survives but has this crazy experience. So he goes on to have this big family and is constantly looking for a way to leave his mark on the world. And he gets in touch with these people who are working on cryonic
oh, Lord.
Freezing. So basically, he puts all of his money and his fortune into cryogenic sleep, essentially. So he believes that if you are put into a freezing cryogenic sleep for however long, until they can figure out how to, basically get rid of all diseases and make the world a better place, then you could live forever. And what I really enjoyed about this book is that it goes back and forth, actually not really back and forth, just forward, into the future. And every it like skips yeah he time travels forward the whole time. It's crazy.
That's fair also kind
of now is
also
time kinda travel. That's is that like how we track fingernail growth?
Yeah, a little bit. But what's really cool is that they skip forward like decades at a time. So you start in the 20s and that kind of technology, and then you jump into like the 50s and the political landscape, and then you jump forward and forward and forward until, you know, you're following his family who are getting injured and dying and trying to fight his legal battle on whether or not he should. Oh, by the way, he has a heart attack and essentially dies, but he's put into cryogenic sleep. And his family, half of his family's like, no, fuck this shit. Like, I want my inheritance. And instead, he is putting all of his money towards freezing his body forever. And then his, the other half of his family is like, well, this is his wishes. He should get what he wants. So,
that half is good.
So wait, is he actually immortal or is he just really cold?
He's really cold.
Okay.
For a long time.
Okay.
But I think it's something like 80 years after he dies.
Oh, that's
fast.
They bring him back to life because they figured out how to cure a lot of diseases.
So wait, he died, he got frozen around World War II and got woken up 80 years later?
No, he dies.
Is this Red Skull all over? Is this more Captain America stuff?
Colin, you suck. Shut up.
He dies in like the 50s, I want to say. So like it's a little
probably a little later than that.
Maybe a little later than that, but
we
like,
didn't
like...
we didn't end the war until like 45. Yeah. So, he would have needed some time to make that huge ass family.
I'm a little torn because I can't tell if Laura doesn't know this book or just doesn't know U.S. history.
I think
there's probably a little bit of both. Because
the author doesn't know U.S. history.
Maybe the author didn't do his homework. Who knows? Maybe that's why there are some shitty reviews, you know?
I have to admit that history is not my strong point, and I have only read this book once, which is working against me, but it does fit a lot of the same concepts as these two things, so I'm going to skip ahead. He dies, he comes back to life, he figures out how to, like, the world figures out how to cure disease and freeze people and bring them back to life and so they can live forever. But you also see all the technological advances that go on. So there's all sorts of virtual reality, and because money and poverty and sickness, all these things aren't a thing anymore, it shows like where people escape to and a lot of those virtual reality, and then kind of people lose touch with what's important and don't know what to do with themselves and are like, why are we even living, because there's no point, because there's no death.
Same.
Which is really
existential as fuck.
And
all realities then are valid.
Towards the end of the book, all of a sudden they realize that there's this, like, I can't exactly remember if it's like a giant comet or if there's some other natural phenomena that they think is about to happen to like destroy the world. And
so
they're like,
dinosaurs.
We have no idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were like, we don't know what to do with our hands, let alone how to fucking fix this comet. Like, what are we supposed to do?
Oh, it's Wall-E.
It's a little Wall-E. So, but Ben is one of the only people left that remembered a time before cryogenic freezing, because there's these people that destroy a lot of... They were against the cryogenic movement, so they destroyed a lot of the people that were frozen. Because he was one of the only people that remembered this life before immortality, because he was the first person frozen, then he can kind of lead his society back into this positive future of figuring out how to work on their own and problem solve and work towards a goal and live in a reality that includes virtual reality and real reality.
Oh, damn.
Boom.
So, yeah.
That's the sound Austin makes when he kicks us back to real reality.
Oh, so that was a really good wrap-up of all those domains. We're going to jump into the discussion here a little bit, and I want to start off with a question for you, Colin.
Oh, me?
The question is, are you still alive? Because you look like you're dying.
I'm not. It's just, I'm just leaking my face because I'm allergic to flowers. They're supposed to make people happy. They make my life terrible.
They're not supposed to do anything.
Yeah, they just exist, homie.
I wish
anyway.
They didn't.
Anyway, sorry about that.
So, as someone who has seen Inception, I... have come up with my own connection between episode 2 playtest and Inception, where in a few of the scenes where Leonardo DiCaprio is like inside his own mind, mm-hmm. we see a projection of his dead wife kind of pull him out of the situation and make him go off. And I wanted to get your thoughts on how similar that is to the projections in Playtest with the virtual reality.
I haven't even thought about that. I would say they're remarkably similar because the contrivance of Playtest, it's a pretty common one. And I think they chose video games because for some reason recorded media like TV and movies still ignore the fact that now most people understand gaming. What Playtest did was it kind of ignored most of the actual practical limitations of gaming and just used it as a vessel to manifest Cooper's fears. Like the fact that it was a video game really didn't have much to do with the plot at all. That was just the plot device they chose. So the real core of the episode is what happens when you're confronted with your fears. And his manifestations of fear came in the form of spiders, which you see spiders on different things throughout the episode leading up to that. Josh Peters, which is the guy from his fucking middle school, high school that bullied him.
High school.
And then his mom. He's like, I don't want to fucking deal with my mom right now. Like, ugh. And in Inception, what happens is when they're in a dream state and they're sharing a dream with someone, a person can bring their own thoughts with them and those can manifest in the dream because it's a completely constructed space within the brain. Mm-hmm. And having accidentally convinced his wife to kill herself, he's not super okay with how everything went down.
It's so, like a manifestation of his grief.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, it's the part of him that wants to stay in the dream. So their experiences, Cooper and Dom Cobb, Cobb is his name, Cooper and Cobb. Why does that sound so funny?
Sounds like a really shitty detective show.
It does. Cooper and Cobb. Basically, I think they're both dealing with the same thing. Inception being a longer form and being Chris Nolan is a lot more nitty-gritty in the detail of how that's executed. But I think that that idea is the same. That is not the whole plot of Inception, but it is the whole plot of Playtest, and Playtest is dedicated to that. And I almost, for this episode, repped 10 Cloverfield Lane, because Playtest was directed by Dan Trachtenberg, who directed 10 Cloverfield Lane. So it's a director who's very good at taking these sort of mindfuck situations and just boiling them down to the things that give you anxiety. They got a really good director and a really good actor to bring it out, even though I felt like the writing was kind of lackluster.
Yeah. That's my answer, Colin.
So I think another thing that stood out to me about Inception, I'm sorry guys, I promise I will talk about your domains too, but Inception is just so closely related that it's super hard not to bring up this point about how when Saito is beginning to explain the game to Cooper, he says that when we are brought out of a situation in which we feel fear, we feel like happy, we feel joyous because we're still alive. And it's kind of a manifestation of like confirmation bias in the episode where Cooper gets pulled out and then we're like, oh my God, thank God it's over. And then we just get fucked over again where we realize that he actually like was in another layer, which is kind of the same thing in the end of Inception. Like, we think everything's okay, and then he spins the top, and we don't know whether or not. So.
And Inception is kind of built around that, the concept of the totem to tell you whether you're in a dream or not. It's just, like, it's an objective thing that's supposed to tell you what state you're in. And I felt like in San Junipero, there wasn't a lot of that. They just kind of, everyone had an understanding of what was happening. Yeah. There wasn't, like, getting
lost.
Well,
we didn't have an understanding until later.
Yeah, we didn't.
But there's also a lot of, like, both in Playtest and in Inception, and I think in The First Immortal, there's this feeling of if death doesn't exist or if reality could be a different reality, then what's your benefit? And going back to that idea of, like, you have to experience this mortal fear to really feel alive, I think that's a similar thing in San Junipero and The First Immortal, where there isn't, you don't die when you're in that place. Like, you can't be killed, you can't have anything go wrong, so what are you living for? In Inception, you know, he wants to be dragged down, there's a part of him that wants to be dragged down to this dream forever. In San Junipero, there's this whole controversy on, like, the reality of Kelly's world and her husband and her family. Like, wouldn't their loss wouldn't mean anything if she could just live and be happy and not have any pain anymore?
Yeah, she was mostly concerned with, like, not wanting to invalidate what had happened in the tangible world. Even though, from an experiential subjective standpoint, San Junipero is just as valid.
Right. And then in The First Immortal, they go through like three chapters on how society takes this horrible kind of backlash and everybody gets super addicted to their virtual reality and they don't move and like it's super nasty. Like, there's a part of society that just goes, like, super dark, and, like, people are just dying inside their virtual reality pods because why would they come out? And I just think that that idea of, if you don't have anything that's negative, you don't have anything that's
positive
challenging you, like, what's the
if
point?
Everyone's super, no one is.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Like, you need the peaks and you need the valleys. You can't just have all peaks.
Yeah.
Which
because then, like, there would be no peaks.
Yeah, no, this was another interesting difference that I had between Excel World and this, because, like, it's in Excel World, it's a pretty small community of people who have the game, which I made a mistake earlier. I said that was Excel World, but Excel World's just a name that sounds cool. The name of the program in the show is actually called Brain Burst, whatever, but, like, that...
it's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, right?
I like that.
It looks like a really fun game.
I motion to the floor that Austin be disqualified from the Gold Star student for making such an egregious error.
Totally.
Not knowing the difference between World War II and One, so.
This is fair. I withdraw my motion and I yield my time to the floor.
So, like, in the game, like, people participate in these, like, huge, crazy anime duel fights in virtual reality to, like, get points to do stuff with augmented reality in, like, the real world. It's different because, I mean, like, it's interesting that here, like, it seems like everything is entirely escapism. And to some extent in Excel World, that is what these people are doing. Like, they're trying to acquire the ability to, like, increase their cognitive capacity so that they don't have to deal with problems that in their lives that other people have to deal with. But the thing is, like, to get to that point in successfully in Excel World, all of these characters have to interact with their avatars and, like, learn about their deepest fears and stuff and overcome them for it to work. And you learn at some point that was, like, kind of what the creator of the game had in mind. The characters, they're trying to, like, rank up because it's apparently a rumor that they'll get to meet the creator if they reach the highest level, whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's, but, like, some Spy Kids 3D shit right
there. That is Spy Kids 3D, oh my god! Holy shit! You should have repped that.
We're going to redo this whole episode, and we're all going to rep Spy Kids 3D. Oh my
God. Wait, no, could we all do an episode where we all just rep a different Spy Kids movie?
They all have a part of Montalban. Well, the latest one didn't because he died.
Yeah, no, and I thought that, like, in these two episodes, it was, I think that, like, the whole attitude that people take on technology here is really interesting, because, like, where Excel World is saying that, like, there are bad effects that it'll have, but, like, overall it'll just, like, increase our ability to do things and it'll sort of expand our humanity. Here it's really interesting that it seems like in Black Mirror, humanity still lives in, like, this bounded circle where we're not really improving ever. We're just sort of kind of adapting to a changing world, and not even very well.
Well, most of the premises behind Black Mirror revolve around, like, they'll take one thing that's in society and then show how, when blown out of proportion, it just destroys, like, humanity itself. Not in a literal sense, but in, like...
Yeah.
It really, like, undermines what we find traditionally valuable.
Yeah.
Which I don't agree with many traditional values, so I like the episodes I watched.
I think Colin's just super okay with hedonism in general and doesn't really, like, give a shit about other people's...
Well, if we can achieve, like, if we can achieve a socialist meritocracy, hedonism won't be such a bad thing.
Anyway, my other, like, pretty much, it's not really a question, it's more of a thought, I guess. So,
that's good.
At the very end of playtest, they go through, Kate is doing her little, like, after test write-up for research purposes and whatnot, and she's going through, it's just like, test elapsed, 0.04 seconds, reason for interference, cell phone signal, and then any other notes, and she literally just writes, called mom. It's pretty much just like, if you didn't understand before, here's just a big old slap in the face to let you know exactly why he died.
Eddie, if you and could it's put because... in another slap sound effect.
It's, he died because he called mom. So calling mom
the moral
was the
of
death
story,
of him.
Is that a
question? What's the?
I wanted to know if in any of your domains, if there's, like, this big old slap in the face moment, where
the
they
third
come
act
up with...
of Inception is all slaps in the face. So.
Yeah.
Including the brrr.
It's just like pro protracted slaps.
I don't necessarily have an answer to that. However, I was in a research lab for like a year as a research assistant, like lowliest ever, like in a face perception lab where we just showed people lots of faces and then we collected data about it.
And then you slapped them.
And then we slapped them in the face as an extra face. But like, there is no reality where they're doing that kind of research and they just fucking leave the phone on.
I know.
That is not a thing. They turned the phone off.
They turned the phone off and then she left the room. But what you don't do is just don't bring the phone in the room.
Don't bring the
phone.
Period. Didn't she check? Wasn't she like, did something happen?
No, I think the thing is that like what the episode was saying was that like everything that happened after she started uploading the gopher game thing to him was like all in his head and he was like that entire time.
Literally from the moment that it clicked in, 18 minutes and 55 seconds, as soon as that fucking mushroom clicks into his neck, the rest of the episode is in his head. So while we saw her go, huh, I thought that was off, at that point he was already dead.
Yes. But this whole thing would never have happened if they just make them leave the phone at the front fucking office.
You just don't bring the phone in.
It's not that hard, people. You're a multi-million-dollar gaming company.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they also, I guess, have the resources to just, like, hide bodies, so.
Probably, but, like. Because they were like, dude, like, they were like, oh, it happened again. Okay,
put him with the others.
Yeah, and the guy, fucking Hideo Kojima, was a goddamn psychopath.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I love it.
He's, like, that same in real life. he's amazing.
Austin has some very weird likes and dislikes about people.
Yeah. But I actually know. I'm kind of glad with how all these domains came together because, like, I just view Inception as a very clever movie. I don't think it's, you know, a lot of people say, like, oh, it's not that smart. I'm like, no, but it's clever. It's been years since I've watched it, and looking at it through this lens of these episodes of Black Mirror and trying to see, like, okay, clearly the movie paints being in limbo as a bad thing. But what if it's the best thing?
What if that's the greatest thing
that could ever happen? Yeah. What if like
you build your own world?
What if instead of incepting his wife to leave, he had just been fucking like Kelly and Yorkie, and they just lived there forever, and then it would be great.
I would have assumed they would pick like a little bit less deep of a dream world because then it's actually not dilapidated and falling apart.
Well, I think it was only dilapidated because it's really their fault.
Yeah. It's because they didn't do all the dream upkeep over the last,
Drupkeep.
But why would all limbos be the same then?
Because limbo
also,
is not
just like a sloppy dude at this
He
job.
Is a sloppy dude, yeah. Anyway. And he just washes up on the ocean, which is, he does that twice, so everybody's like, which one did he wash up first, huh? Is it the same wash up? Like, what's going on?
It makes about as much sense as the Nexus in Star Trek Generations, which I need to say because I haven't mentioned Star Trek at all this podcast.
You didn't need to mention it at all.
Yeah, I fucking do.
Nope.
Oh, Lord.
We're going to move on to the ratings section. So I would like Colin to go first, obviously, and we're going to rate these episodes out of, we're going to go with 1 to 5 alternate realities.
Oh, come on, cloud realities.
That's huge. What happened? Oh my God. This is so much scale. Like, I would rate these episodes, first introduction to Black Mirror, 4 out of 5. I really.
4 out of 5 what?
4 out of 5. Alternate realities. It's too big, Pat. It's too big.
Listen, if they're infinite, it doesn't matter what size they are.
That's not what she said.
That's not what she said, even a little bit.
It might still matter.
That's where you
no,
get...
I was going for tearing. Colin's thing. Colin said it's too big, Pat, and I said it's not what she said. But then you guys went on. And now
so
I'm pointing out the joke, so it's less funny.
I'm going to rate it 4 out of 5.
It's okay, we can edit that out.
Because, I really enjoyed... I like San Junipero way more than Playtest, which is maybe a little weird because I'm so into video games, but I thought Junipero was a much more fully fleshed out idea, whereas Playtest I'd seen before in a few different things. Like, definitely Star Trek has done that on numerous occasions. There's an episode of Voyager with Michael McKean that really fucking digs into that, but Playtest felt
The video game part was a little weird. I don't think
it did a good job of really representing the source material it was based on, where San Junipero felt much more original and felt like something that, even if I'd seen some of those concepts before, the way they told that story really surprised
the
hell out of me.
Also the fact that, like, the humans, like, made a good choice for each other in the end.
Yeah.
Like, that was weird.
It was like a nice, yeah. It was a nice story. So I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 because I really loved a lot of it. But playtest script did not do it for me, so it brings it down from 5.
Fair enough. Austin, what'd you think?
Yeah, so interesting. We're going to say that, like, I'm selectively choosing, taking out the horrifying parts of one reality, and I'm giving it a 3-5 alternate realities overall because, like, it's beautifully made, and I really like the vision behind a lot of stuff in Black Mirror. As you know, I've seen 2 episodes before these 2 episodes. and it just, it blows my mind every time. But also, like, after I watched Playtest, like, I had to take a break again because I was like, okay, that was fucked up. I need
That's
a
pretty
minute.
Heavy, yeah.
Yeah, especially because just, like, you just think now, about, like, well, what?
Imagine watching that. Imagine watching that, and then immediately after you finish, your cell phone buzzes, and it's your mom calling. Because that happened.
Did you just look at the phone and go,
I don't know who I am. I don't know who I am.
I felt pretty confident that it was actually my mom. All right, Laura, what would you rate this?
So a little backstory on my rating. I have seen the first season of Black Mirror, but I just started watching the second, so I hadn't gotten to 3 yet. And I scare super, super easily, which I have been getting better at.
Sorry.
But I have not successfully gotten over. I also wake up at about 5 o'clock in the morning and I get on a train at 6 and I take the bus to New York City. I mean the subway, the train. I'm super tired.
Wow.
So I take the train. So it was like 6 o'clock in the morning and I was sitting on a train and I started watching Playtest. And so not only was I in like a public space at 6 o'clock in the morning watching this, I was like, fuck man. Like I was trying not to jump at things because there were people around me and also being like, nobody should see what I'm watching because you never know what's going to happen in Black Mirror. But I think because of my environment and like the stress that I felt while I was watching it, it actually worked more, like it was a more effective episode for me. And then I just really loved Sarah Junipero. I knew that there was something up, but I wasn't sure where they were going with it for a long time. And then they just did it, like the, when they started calling it a tourist or a local, that's what it was a tourist or a local. And yeah. Like they used that word and like it was totally natural, but I felt like I already knew that it meant something and I just didn't know what it was. So like the subtlety of the writing and the acting of that, of those scenes was just super impactful. And I just thought it was a really great, ending up being a really great, like uplifting episode about kind of the beauty and the possibility of humanity, which doesn't happen very often in a lot of
Have
media.
You said how many alternate realities you've rated this yet?
I haven't
yet. Not yet.
Okay.
Mostly because I'm rambling and I'm very sleepy. And
okay.
How many alternate realities? I was just talking about enjoying it. Anyway, the long and the short of that is that I think I would rate it a 4.5 out of 5 alternate realities.
That's good.
Because it was just, I thought it just, you know, just did what it was supposed to when I was watching.
So, Pat, how did we do this week?
Alrighty. So, I feel like everybody always says this, but obviously this is a tough decision to give out the Gold Star Student Award to one of you three fine people. According to the Navy, you're all gentlemen, so...
That is sexist as fuck.
Goddamn. Alright, Colin, you do not get the star. I'm sorry, but it would just be too easy for me to give it to you, and that's not fun for me.
What does that mean?
Wait, are we like, counting backwards? Are we, like, yes. Starting... Wow, yes. Fucking damn.
This is how my mind works. I have to
I'd
go
rather
through.
Be like let down Process by hearing someone else say it than just by saying someone's gonna get it, but not fucking you.
Sorry. I have to talk.
I put together
my process
podcast
out.
Birthday surprise for you.
No.
And you
so
gotta
I
shit
just,
on me like that? No, fuck
I
your
just
birthday.
Don't
You're
want
still 22.
I don't want the reader to be like, oh, he only picked Colin because they're best friends, and Inception is like totally the closest thing to these episodes of Black Mirror ever.
Yeah, if anything,
I want them to
the,
think
the,
that I can think for myself.
The fact
okay?
that I picked such a closely related domain probably means I shouldn't get it.
I think I'm gonna have to give this one to Laura.
Yay!
Because not only does she not have a very good grasp on history, which made for some interesting conversation.
You were taking such a negative approach to this award.
She
was able.
At least you got a comment made about you.
Yeah,
sorry.
She. Austin, I'll get to you. so even though even though you came into this thinking that the first immortal was pretty much only applicable to San Junipero, you made some pretty good tie-ins with playtest, and I appreciate the fact that you had to go through a little bit more of a scary ordeal than the rest of them. So that's why you get it. Austin, I love you. You know I always will ever since the swim team. But
Blonde Austin is a sight to behold.
Blonde Austin was the greatest, man.
Yeah, Laura, you missed it. Blonde Austin and Mohawk Pat.
Mohawk Pat.
Go digging on Facebook.
Austin was a diver.
We have like 40 listeners right now. All 40 of you need to like go and find these pictures of people and just fucking spread them.
Do you really listen to us?
I mean, they let the sound flow into their ears. Whether or not they give a crap, I don't know.
Okay, that's fair.
Well, I feel like people sometimes give speeches.
I didn't even say what the award was. Hold on, I gotta pick what award you get.
Oh yeah, shit, I forgot.
Shit.
Oh yeah. I should probably not give a speech until I know that, because what if I tell you hate the award?
I guess I'm gonna give you the golden mental implant. Right.
Gold is pretty conductive.
It is. It is very good. I'm giving you the golden neural link to upload yourself.
I don't really know how to riff off of this.
It's okay.
Austin did a better job with that sound.
Well, thanks. I'll go plug in and get 10 layers deep in a dream.
That
this was the most anticlimactic. I killed all the momentum by like going so out of
order. Why was that so bad?
What are you laughing so hard at?
I'm gonna go plug in and get 10 layers deep in a dream. Just sounded like curdlingly disgusting. Like I almost.
I feel like
your mind is going so far. Colin is a gross individual.
That's on the podcast. That's on the podcast.
So that about wraps it up, if I do say so myself. I am Pat, the birthday boy. What?
No, keep going. You're good.
Okay.
Are we
going to
sing?
Thank you for the surprise. Please don't. Anyway, I am Pat. This week's topic was Black Mirror, specifically different realities and how we can tell the difference between them and which ones are valid or not. You can check it out on Netflix and probably some random websites that I don't recommend you go on. Our next episode will be hosted by Colin. What you talking about?
So we're going to be talking about Sonic the Hedgehog and the idea of legacy. No,
you fucking would. You fucking would.
Hey, it's not Star Trek. So we're going to be talking about Sonic the Hedgehog and the idea of legacy. So no like specific games in particular, but mostly about how his franchise has changed over time and how it's perceived. There are two really big games coming out this year for it, and I want to compare it to some of his other video game compatriots.
Be sure to read up on Sonic the Hedgehog, go play some games, and think about legacy before it airs next week on May 19th. If any of you listening want to contact us, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Geeking Program, or email us at commongeekingprogram@gmail.com. If you're listening on iTunes, leave us a review. It's a great way for more people to find our show, as is recommending us to your friends. If you want to know more, go to commongeekingprogram.com. Thank you all for listening. We love you from the bottom of our hearts.
Plug in.
And go 10 layers deep.
This episode of the Common Geeking Program was hosted by Pat Brem, joined by Colin Ketchum, Laura Kramer, and Austin Levers. This episode is sponsored by this sound effect. The podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchum and Jeff Levin, with this episode edited by me, Edward Ryan, and featuring original music by Colin Ketchum. If you like the show, follow us, tell your friends, or leave us a review. We hope you tune in next week for the Sonic the Hedgehog episode, and thank you for listening to this.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
I couldn't hear anybody but Colin, and then eventually, like, you would just sputter in.
Yeah, no, that's how we were singing it, I think. Because he started without, like, telling us he was going to start.